Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is David Hirschberg, CEO of Globecom Systems, trading on NASDAQ under the ticker symbol GCOM. And Globecom Systems is a leading provider of satellite-based communications infrastructure solutions and services on a global basis. Thanks for joining us today, David.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Great. Start off by talking about the launch of service for GCI Village.
Well,
yeah, network in Alaska.
GCI is a very important project for us because it's one of the first major deployments of an infrastructure that we've developed over the last 6 years of providing very efficient backhaul service for cellular telephone. As you know, there's probably 2.5 billion cellular phones out there right now, 2.5 to 3 billion, and most of that those phones and most of that service is in major cities. The next billion growth are going to be in smaller rural-type communities that have much smaller populations. And being able to do that efficiently, we think, is very important. And we've developed over the years a system that we think is extremely efficient for our customers. You can use, and I think GCI is a good example, we have a single mobile subscriber switch located in Anchorage. That single switch operates 200 small villages within Alaska and allows the calls to stay local or go directly between different villages without going into the switch. The switch actually sets the calls up, and it's all done by satellite. So it's very important that we can connect people in different parts of a town directly with each other without going up a satellite, back down to a switch, and back again. That's very inefficient for a space segment, costs more money. It isn't good quality because of the delay. So our system actually has a router at the base stations that allows the calls to be routed locally. If there's a call between one village and the other village, the connection is made directly by satellite between the two villages. The call setup is done by the switch, but the calls do not have to go through the switch. In a conventional cellular system, if a person at one part of town wants to make a call to another part of town, the call goes to the switch, is then routed to another base station so the two people can talk. You can see where if you do that by terrestrial means, by fiber or something like that, that's not really an issue because once you install the fiber, there's no cost for using it, and also there's no delay or very little delay in the fiber transmission. So fiber is not really a good option for very remote villages, especially a place like Alaska, because you may have to run 100 miles of fiber at a very absorbent cost through very bad terrain and for just a few hundred subscribers. So it's not really viable. So satellite is very viable that way, and the system that we've developed is very efficient by satellite. And that contract now is up to about $30 million, and we installed about 50 to 60 sites already, and the service is very good. I think they're talking about 2 to 3 times the number of subscribers already on the system, and we're now going to start now, because the weather's gotten better up there, to start installing the rest of the sites.
And Globecom also was awarded various contracts from government agencies valued over $3 million. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, we did very little government business, and we made a conscious effort to get out and do a lot more business with the government. And we went from about 10% of our business being U.S. government to last year about 50%. Unfortunately, this year, this is not happening. We're having a problem booking some of that government business. Even though we have a number of government contracts, they basically are indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity kind of contracts, and the government is not exercising options they have to the extent that we would like to see it. Those contracts that we've got were hardware contracts, which were important to us. We developed a whole family of satellite communication terminals, anywhere from very small terminals that you can take as baggage, as cabin baggage on a plane, to very, very large gateway terminals of 50-foot diameter antennas and everything in between. And these contracts were important to us because they utilize our products. unfortunately, we haven't been getting the level of business in that area that we really would like. And we have done recently, though, is develop some new products to handle, to work in the frequencies of the WGS satellite, which is the new global satellite system the government is deploying. It uses X-band and Ka-band, which are different than the commercial satellite systems, which travel, which take about 80% of the traffic now for the government, which are Ku-band and C-band. Last year we delivered a large number of those terminals, and I'm not sure the reason why the government's not buying more of those from us this year in Ku-band and C-band, it could be they're waiting to see these X-band terminals, which we delivered, and we just recently finished our Ka-band version of that terminals. So it's basically investments we made in developing tactical type terminals. We call auto acquisition terminals, where you can press a button and the system will automatically acquire a satellite. It's very important to us to do that. Also, we develop software to control those terminals, which is important to us. And it's basically those type of terminals that we delivered. We'd like to see an awful lot more of that. We're hoping that'll happen.
Certainly. And talk about some of the trends right now in the market, and how well-positioned is Globecom to really capitalize on these trends?
Well, we're in two major businesses. One is to provide equipment and infrastructure, and the other is to provide service. Our service side of the business does network management. By that, I mean we would, for our customers, manage a network, provide maintenance and operations, provide 7x24 call-ins for any problems, and those businesses are going very well with us. We have a number of contracts with the government long-term, people like the FAA, National Weather Service, UN, UNICEF, UN Food Program, USAID, Peace Corps, and we also provide a lot of video services out of here. That business is going very well. As a matter of fact, it's ahead of plan. Our infrastructure business and equipment business has been very slow. We did book some pretty good-sized contracts. One we got recently or that we're working on now, unfortunately, there's no revenue for this fiscal year. Our fiscal year ends June 30th, so we've got about 3 more months to go in our fiscal year, and we won't be able to deliver any hardware against that contract. A number of what we call these large contracts, like we have a $115 million contract with the United Nations to provide hardware, and I think right now we're up to about 5 or 6 million. We got about $85 million contract with WWSS, and I think we got about 15, 16 million against that contract. So I think the prospects are good, and we think that the equipment, the purchases will increase in the future. Those two contracts, along with 2 or 3 others, are the same type, where we are preferred suppliers, either like WWSS or other contracts where we're the only person on those contracts. So we think in the future that we'll get more of that business, but right now it's been slow.
Well, certainly. And talk about some of the challenge, some of the other challenges, and how some of your strategies for overcoming them.
Well, 2001, when there was a meltdown, we contracted quite a bit in our business, and we at that time decided that we really had to diversify and be in more business than just building satellite ground stations. And as a result, we went after the service business to increase that from about $15 million to close to $80 million now, or $75 million now. The government business from a relatively small percentage to 50%. So in markets, we went after the government very heavily, the service business. We also developed a very good capability for IPTV, where we've gotten a number of contracts there. That's another place where we've won some contracts, and we're waiting to get them financed. We put a lot of effort into cellular telephone backhaul with our new systems, and they did pay off with GCS. We also provide services for cellular companies, small cellular companies in the U.S. and overseas, using GSM and CDMA switches that we have in our facility. So that's another growth business for us, we feel. So we went, and just this year, we announced that we're going to be going heavily into the maritime business. And we purchased a company about a month ago, that was why we rang the bell at NASDAQ, was in honor of purchasing Mach 6, which is one of their major businesses, the maritime business. They have like 160, they have equipment and services to about 160 large ships. And we have some of our own business out of Globecom. So combining that, what they are doing and what we are doing in network management and working with teleports worldwide, we can provide service any place in the globe for the maritime industry and every other industry in governments and telephone companies or private enterprises. So each year we try to do something new, whether it's a new product that we develop or a new market that we develop. So those are some of the things that we're going after.
Great. And what differentiates Globecom from the other players in your sector?
Well, I think one thing that that differentiates us is that we are a complete one-stop shop. By being able to build systems and then be able to maintain and operate them, provide network management, provide space segment. Give you a good example. In Afghanistan, we built a nationwide network, 21 provincial capitals and 250 small villages, and we finished that contract. After we finished it, we had a two-year maintenance agreement, maintenance and training, so we could train local people to take over those. And in addition to that, they buy the satellite space segment from us. They also send us telephone traffic, voice over IP traffic, and internet traffic. So we got $300,000 to $400,000 a month worth of service revenue from that business after we had completed all the infrastructure. So that's one customer that was able to stay with us all the way through. So if there is any issues or something doesn't work, they don't have to deal with more than one company. We're on the hook for the whole thing, and we make sure that we provide good service to our customers.
And will the company look to M&A activities as a catalyst towards continued growth?
Yes, we are. As you know, it's been sort of slow. We did one acquisition, our first one, about 18 months ago that's worked out very well, GlobalSat in Maryland. They have a teleport. They operate a lot of government business out of there. We also did this Mach 6 acquisition about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we're actively looking. We do have cash on our balance sheet. We have an extremely good balance sheet, and we are looking for companies mostly in the service area. We like the service area somewhat better than the infrastructure from the standpoint of being able to predict our marketplace a lot better. Most of our contracts with in the service area are multiple-year contracts, and if you give good service, even though they might be one-year contracts, they usually will extend them. And we have very little churn in that business. It's we maintain our customers because we give very good service. So that business is something that we really like, and we're looking at potential acquisitions in that area. If another one comes along in the infrastructure area that has products that we feel we could use, or we feel is a good fit for us, we go look there. But what we want to do is buy a company that's synergistic with what we do and also is reasonably priced and would be accretive to the company. And like I say, it's taken us 8 months to do 18 months to do our second one, so the money's not burning a hole in our pocket. We're trying to do a good job in finding the right companies that fit what we're doing. But yes, we are certainly looking at potential acquisitions.
And tell us a little bit about the present board and senior-level management team.
Well, the senior-level management team are mostly people I've worked with for 25, 30 years. I started a company back in 1976 called Satellite Transmission System, which I sold to a larger company, and I left there in 94. And when I left in 94, we were about 450 people and $120, $130 million a year. And a lot of those people are here. Most of my senior management came from there. We've been fortunate to hire some very good senior management also out of other companies that had either, got out of the business because it wasn't that great in the year, in 2000. And we're very satisfied with our management team there. A lot of my old friends. Unfortunately, my president, Ken Miller, who I work with since 1972, passed away in July. So it's left a big hole in the organization, and that's been, a very difficult hole to fill. Our board, we have a very excellent board. Some of the people on there, Jerry Whalen, who's been in the satellite business for many, many years. He was executive VP of GTE. He was the number one satellite engineer in the U.S. military when he was with the Navy. A fellow named Brian Mahoney, who worked for ATT, ran their service business, was also a chief operating officer and president of Perot Systems. Jack Shaw, who's the CEO of Hughes Corporation, guy I've known since the late 60s. Bob Tobin, who was with us when we went public in 97 from Unterberg Tobin. He's been on our board all these years. Bob has about 50 years of Wall Street experience. He's excellent guy. Harry Hutchison, who came to us from one of the big six, big four accounting firms, is head of our audit committee. Extremely good guy. And a guy named Rich Caruso has a lot of experience, was an executive VP at Nortel and some other companies. Very good experience. And myself, that's our board.
And what specific objectives have the management set for the company over the next 12 to 24 months?
Well, this is the same ones we really set last year. We want to, except that we've added the maritime into the mix. We've set specific objectives to the number of ships we want to be on, what kind of revenue we want to generate from that. We've set some specific goals for our service business that we think we can depend on based on what backlog we have now and some of the new contracts coming in. Our goal in the infrastructure business is more modest. We want to get back to where we were last year. We're not going to be as good this year as we were last year. And even though we've grown almost every year since 2001, this year we're not growing in the infrastructure business. And so we set some goals there to go after some certain markets and customers and hopefully do better. A lot of it has to do with what the economy is and people. When people buy equipment and infrastructure, it's CapEx, and they have to get it financed a lot of times. One of the problems we do have, for instance, is that we have a number of infrastructure projects that are on hold right now waiting to get financing. So, another one that we're going to win, that we won that was put on hold because just the fact that they could get the financing for it and they're still waiting to get it. And another one they're waiting to get a license on. So things have sort of slowed down out there, and we're hoping we'll see a pickup in the next 6 months and we'll get our infrastructure revenue back up where it was last year.
Great. And once again, joining us today is David Hirschberg, CEO of Globecom Systems, trading on NASDAQ under ticker symbol GCOM. And before we conclude, David, what are some of the specific reasons why investors should consider Globecom Systems as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is I think we're the best in what we do. We've got very good customers. We've got a very good product line. We've got very good, extremely good customer base. Our infrastructure business, which has been growing very well, makes good margin, and it's very predictable. And I think the value of that infrastructure business will continue to grow. I think we will come out of this problem we've got with the infrastructure business very strong. We've used this time to develop some really new products that we think are very good. So I think from a standpoint of the company, growth perspective, I think, is very good. And from a financial standpoint, we're about 120 million market cap now. We've got about 50 million in cash. So we're talking about a $70 million really enterprise value for the company. So I think it's very undervalued at that price. But I think there are a lot of other companies that are undervalued too. So we're not the only one. I think we're going to get back on, earning money in the infrastructure business and continue to earn more money in the other businesses. And so I think the future is very good. And I think we're not alone in some of the issues we have this year. And hopefully next year, when the overall global picture looks a lot better, then that we'll certainly look a lot better along with it.
Well, we certainly hope so, and we do look forward to continuing to track Globecom's progress.
Okay, well,
I'd like to thank you for the update.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk to you.